One sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes.
From Corpus Christi, Texas, it's time for the Family Altar Program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away. For he takes the glove.
And now for a continuation of yesterday's message, here is Brother Roloff.
For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
I was riding along with Mary. She came and picked me up last, whenever I left. And we'd gone. I said, Mary, stop. Back up. Those peas are ready. And I got out there, and I got to picking peas. And, of course, Aaron and his little fast-growing brother jumped out there. And so I opened up some peas, and I began to eat them. And, of course, they were ready to eat, so I just began to feed them raw peas. Man, that little boy, this morning, he came up to me. He wanted me to peel him some more peas, shell him some more peas. Boy, there they were eating raw peas, see. But you see people, they say, oh, man, you wouldn't eat them raw. Why not? Why do you got to take them in there and put them in your murder with the cook stove and boil them for a while and then knock all the life out of them and then have to put some salt and a bunch of other stuff in them to try to bring the taste back to them? And nobody crazier than people. Fact is, the peas that I picked, Mary, I don't know whatever happened to them. I know one thing. Did Aaron steal my peas? You kept them, didn't you, in the car? I looked up. I thought I put them in the airplane. I guess I didn't. But I tell you what, raw food like God gives it, see. You know, back in my 6 days, what I used to do, and I'm just trying to share something with you. I didn't like grapefruit in the first place very much because they were sour. And they were, you've heard of, full of acid, you know. Have you ever heard that? Oh, so full of acid, you know. People talk about acid, you know. They don't realize what it does when they get in the system that it's not acid. But anyhow, I'd take, if I couldn't get an orange, I'd whack a grapefruit open. And I never dreamed then we'd be raising a lot of grapefruit. And I'd put a lot of white sugar on top of it. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? See, y'all just as depraved as I am, aren't you? Man, I just cover it with sugar and let her soak a while, you know, and then dig it out and enjoy that sugar. That's back in my sick days. That's right. And, you know, if we could, and we take the Word of God, and the Bible said don't add to it, don't take from it. If we'd practice that with a lot of God's food, we'd be a lot better off. You know, man feels like, I've got to improve the Bible. We've got a better Bible now. We've improved it. We got 100 scholars together. Man, they studied. That's twice as many plus 20 as it took to write the thing. Start with the wonderful Bible, to write the wonderful Word. To start with, it had 40 people over a period of 16. Now then, it takes 100 just to revise it. You know what they did? They took out the these and the thys. Isn't that tremendous? Boy, it must take a lot of smart to do that. You know what they put in? They put in Y-O-U. That's their main addition, you know. They said that makes it right down where people are, see. As far as I'm concerned, let the people get up there where it is. Don't bring God down. Bring yourself up by His marvelous grace. Well, be not conformed to this world. Be you transformed by the renewing. Here it is. The renewing of your mind, that you may prove what's good, acceptable, perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me, let me come back just a minute. Have you heard during your generation, as I have in mine, so much talk about the perfect will of God and the permissive will of God? I wonder if that's not where a lot of this permissive living started. And in other words, they began to preach, since the perfect will of God seemed a little bit high for most people, They said, let's set up a permissive will of God. And God will permit it. Of course, that's not what he wants out of us. But, Lord, I'm not really interested in your perfect will. I'd like just a permissive will. I don't want the best. I want the second best. And to me, a good deal of foolishness mixed up in that. If God has a perfect will for us, why don't we go after that? You said, do you think you know the perfect will of God? So far as my life is concerned, the perfect will of God is for me to preach. The last 2 weeks, I've enjoyed preaching 60 minutes at least every night. Every night. Now, I know it's God's will for me to preach. I mean, that's what he called me for. That's the reason I'd like to get a lot of things out of the way so we could, you know, just spend the time preaching. That's the reason I'd like to settle this thing legally. I get tired of fighting the state and the government and going to courthouse and peddling around wasting God's money. But what are you going to do about it? Just quit? No, sir, we're not. Amen. We're going right on.
That's right.
You know, you say, well, when are you going to quit? When we win.
Amen.
When God brings the enemy to his knees and when right reigns and when we get justice. And brother, that's all we've ever asked. We've not asked for any favors of the court. All we've asked for is just an honest rendition of constitutional liberty. And that's it. All right? Next verse. I say, through the education that given to me. No, through the grace. Grace talk. Given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to man, to every man, what? The measure of faith. Now, Frank Van Cove, I saw Diane, your sister. She introduced to me to her lovely future husband. Wonderful man. I tried to discourage him and her, but I couldn't in no way. But it's a lovely couple, wonderful couple. Now then, did you know that God gave to you the same amount of faith that he gave to me? There's one thing that I think there are two things that everybody has the same amount of. I mean exactly the same. Everybody has the same amount of faith. And everybody that's saved has the same amount of grace. Because it just took the same amount of grace to save everybody. It don't make any difference whether he's a prostitute or whether he's a homosexual or whether he's a drunkard or whether he's a murderer. It just takes the grace of God. Now, God would never be impartial. He would not give me. Now, people talk about Brother Roloff's faith. Lester Roloff, living by faith. I'm living by exactly what God gave you. You say, what's the difference? If there is any difference, it's in the application of it. It's in the application of it. My brother, old Melvin, he's never been a hunter. He's never been much of a fisherman. He's a valedictorian. He's brainy. Got a lot of sense. And he was interested in things. Now, I finally got him to go hunting with me. You've heard me maybe tell this. I said, Melvin, let's go hunting. And the birds started flying. And Melvin, I can see him now. He'd take his gun and he'd follow them from the time they got in shooting distance until they just went completely out of sight. And I waited. I just waited. But he brought his gun back. Here come another one. He got him just like that. I can see him going out. All the time, man, I was just shooting. Boom, boom, boom. And Melvin, I said, Melvin, why don't you shoot? Well, he said, I never did get it on him. Huh? Folks, he had just as many shells in his gun as I had in mine. He just didn't pull the trigger. That's what's wrong with some Christians today. God has got your gun loaded, and you're too big a coward to pull the trigger. Brother, he said he's measured to every man the measure of faith. Listen, I'm amazed, and I know a lot of you think that you're going up a blind alley And you think, I mean, some of you, I know you don't say it exactly like that, but I can tell some of you every once in a while, you feel like that I've over-persuaded you to climb a tree. And you got up on, and we're all sitting up on a limb and limbs, and there ain't no pecans up there. And you said, man, what am I doing on this silly limb? There's Brother Olaf over there, and there's nothing up this tree. Now, he's begged me for years to climb this tree. Now, here I am out on a limb, and there's nothing up here. Huh? Listen, the Bible said, after, you need patience that after you climb the tree.
Yeah.
Wait for the pecans. They'll come along. The old snail, you know, he was going up an apple tree. And somebody said to the snail, you know, just barely going, he said to the snail, said, where are you going? Well, he said, I'm going up the apple tree. He said, well, there's no apples up there. He said, I know, but there will be time I get there. Now, folks, you just need patience that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. And then he said, now the just shall live by faith. You know the thing that makes people misunderstand all these ministries? It's only one thing, it's faith. What people can't explain, they usually explode.
Yeah.
If I can't do it, I'll destroy it. That's the reason the news media gets after us.
Right.
They're used to natural things. They live in nature. They don't live in supernature. We're in a spiritual gear that the world doesn't understand. It doesn't make us super duper. It makes God super duper. What is that they used to put? You remember many years ago when Superman came out? Huh? Boy, he'd flit from the top of a house and go every which way. Boy, did you know what old Superman has come true in a lot of ways? And man thinks he's a Superman. We're not super people. God's a super God. The supernatural is not us. But wait a minute. He put into us the measure of faith that puts us in business with God. People that say, Brother Olaf, they come out and look all around and see the campus and the buildings and the girls and the boys and all the people that are saved and born again. And they use the word fantastic. No, you missed it. It's supernatural. And then you know what they begin to do? They begin to try to explain it or get me to explain it. Say, Brother Olaf, you must have a tremendous organization. You must have a lot of trained workers. No, we just have saved workers.
Amen.
We just have people that love the Lord. And listen, God's plan is so simple, and I'll say it again, the smart alecks miss it.
Right.
And then they can't understand it, and many times they fight it. Well, he says he's measured every man the measure of faith. Verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the what? Grace. Now remember what he said? Through the grace given. You don't buy it. You don't join the Methodist Church and get it, or the Baptist Church, or you don't go to the Pope or the Virgin Mary. Grace is a gift. Now that's the thing that separates Christianity from the cults. I noticed Mississippi just ran on Brother Olaf again and condemned him for operating a cult. Brother, heap of difference between Christ and a cult.
Right.
We don't destroy them, we deliver them.
Amen.
We keep them. They're suicidal when they come in. How many have come in? Let me ask a question tonight again, and we'll just... How many of you have attempted suicide at one time, or the hold your hand real high? You've attempted suicide. Stick them up real high. All right, boys, get with it. If you bet, okay. Now, you see there, that's 100 of my people that's already tried to kill themselves. Now tonight, if I took another vote, I'd say, how many of you would like to kill yourself tonight? I wouldn't get one vote. Isn't that something? Why, what's the difference? Jesus said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Right there, these two patches, I've seen many of them come into office, you know, and I'd be a little old dejected blue jean, sloppy looking girl, or a little old hippie looking boy sitting there, you know, with his face down toward the floor and mad at everybody and didn't care. Well, I said, honey, you didn't make it, did you? I'd look over maybe and I'd look at the wrist. No, but I wish I had. Well, I said, you won't be here a week till you'd be glad you didn't. Why, you'll just be so glad that God didn't let you kill yourself. You know why people want to die? They don't have any life. If you got that kind of life inside, you like to live. Well, I tell you what, death holds no attraction for me. Man, the last place I ever want to go is to the undertaking parlor. I'd rather live. I'd rather be living when Jesus comes. And I've thought a good deal the last few days about Moses. Moses lived 120 years. Everybody tried to kill him. Pharaoh wanted to kill him, couldn't he? You know why? God made him immortal. Fact is, the only way Moses could die was God had to kill him. There was no way, because his natural force was not abated. His eye was not dim. He never put on things like that. He never had a pair of glasses on. I believe that Moses died just the way he lived. And you've heard me say now, when God made man, when he made Adam, and Adam wasn't born, he wasn't born, God made him. But Adam was dead. You know what the difference between a man and a living soul? It's the breath of God. You know the difference between a man and a mule? It's the breath of God. God didn't make a mule and breathe into him the breath of life. He breathed into man. Now let me ask you a question. Whose breath did Adam get? It was God's breath. What kind of breath? And that breath was life. Now then, how long will that breath last? As long as God lasts. Now then, we've got a spiritual breath that God breathes into us, the Holy Spirit. How long will we live? As long as the Holy Spirit lives. And so, when Moses came up on Pisgah's lofty height and viewed his home and took his flight, he was standing there. And as I've said before, how's he going to die? He doesn't have cancer. He doesn't have emphysema. He doesn't have hardening of the arteries. He doesn't have respiratory trouble. Because he just climbed a mountain. And he's standing there. And if God had permitted, he'd go back down the mountain. But he said, no. It's time to cross over into the promised land and you can't go. The law can never take anybody across Jordan. And you're my lawyer. You wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. But that's the law. And then another thing, you disobeyed me. Out yonder. And you, instead of speaking to the rock, see, you hit it one time. That's enough. The rock that I have is only smitten one time. I'm not going to let my son be crucified but one time. You got that, didn't you? I'm not going to. You out there lost your temper and you hit the rock again. You don't crucify my son twice. One time is enough. Now then, he said, Moses, I might as well break the news to you. You're fixing to come home. I don't think Moses, he said, now, Lord, I don't know why I can't go across over in the promised land. I mean, after all, I've been with him. Here I have given 120 my year to life. And he didn't whine about that. He said, I think he could have said, well, Lord, am I going home alive? I mean, am I fixing to take off through there? No, he said, it's given unto man once to die. He said, well, I'll tell you one thing. It'll come as a surprise to me because I never felt better. And I'm trying to figure out how in the world I'm going to die, because I sure don't feel like dying. I feel like living. And the Lord said, leave that up to me. And I want to say it once more. When the Lord made Adam, all he had to do was just... And he became a what? A living animal? No, no, sir. A living soul. Now let me ask you this. If he blew life into him, he stood there with Moses, couldn't he? Sort of suck it out of him, huh? I mean, he could just cut him off. Now you'd say, well, I don't understand it. You don't have to understand it. Just believe it. A heap of things you don't understand. Oh, listen. As I bring the message to a close, and we've got to close now, we're going to take up here next Saturday night, I think, where we left off. But he said, having then gifts differing according to the grace that's given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth. The last verse, and I'm coming to that next Saturday night, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. There was a book private, and I like this story, and evidence true, because I read the testimony of the man that had a real rating, but he was real mean. This little old humble, simple, book private in the barracks had a habit of reading his Bible and praying every night by the side of his little old bunk. And this liquor-drinking officer would come in and poke fun at that little old simple Christian boy that had been trained by his mother, an old-fashioned preacher. And one night, this officer came in, raining and muddy and had on his boots, and he saw that little old simple boy over there with a Bible on his bunk, and his head was buried in the little old mattress, and he was talking to his Heavenly Father and closing out his day. And that officer thought, half drunk, he said, isn't that stupid? And so he pulled off a muddy boot and he threw it at him, and it bounced off of the bed. The boy never did look up. He just kept on. He was in conversation and communication with somebody a lot higher than that off. He took off that other boot and threw it at the boy, and mud splattered. He got in his bunk and went to sleep. And the next morning, when he woke up way up in the morning, his boots were cleaned and polished and shined. And that wicked rascal looked at those boots and then gave his testimony. And he said, it was that night when I realized what I'd done to a Christian boy, and he shined my boots, and I knew he had something I didn't have, but I wanted it. He had something better than the liquor I drunk that night out on a wild spree. Folks, by their fruit, you'll know them.
Amen.
Let your light so shine before men. Folks, don't you girls, the wages of sin still death. You're not half as smart as you think you are to think you can win in the sin game. You boys the same way. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let's stand together everywhere. While we sing tonight, if the Lord has spoken to your heart, and I want us to sing, I think, just a cappella tonight, just the voices coming from the hearts. There's somebody here who needs Jesus. Maybe some new friend has come in, and you'd like to say, Brother Olaf, I'll shine my enemy's boots. I'll bear no grudge toward my stepdaddy. He might have molested me, but I'll pray for him till he's saved. My mother deserted me when I was a little girl or a little boy, but tonight I want to forgive her and pray for her. I Hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Come on. Indeed is small. Too small. Child of weakness. Find in me.
We are delighted that you joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff. The message today is entitled Romans Chapter 12. If you would like to receive this message on a CD, simply ask for offer number RO94. It's important to recover shipping and handling, so we ask for a gift of at least $10, and we certainly would like to have today's date and the call letters to the radio station you're now listening to. To order by credit card, call toll-free at 1-800-772-7507. The address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. The special offer for the month of June is God Bless America. Some of the songs heard on the music CD are God Bless America, We've Heard Footsteps, Lord, to Be Used of Thee, I Want That Mountain, and many, many more. Simply write to us and ask for the CD entitled God Bless America, and the offer number is RO822. And include $10 to help with shipping and handling. The address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. To use your credit card, call toll-free at 1-800-772-7507. Again, the offer is God Bless America, offer number RO822. The credit card number again, it's a toll-free number, by the way, 1-800-772-7507. And our address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. Now, this is Gene Price speaking for the staff here at the Roloff Ministries, wishing you a wonderful day, and we're looking forward now to being with you again the next time we broadcast here on the Family Altar program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea.